This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is Ticket to Ride, a travel show that takes you places where you remain firmly seated, and I'm Adeline Cheung. This week, we head over to Italy with Joyce Wong of Kinky Blue Ferry as she explores secret beaches in Cinque Terre. And don't forget, at the end of the show, we'll then take you through some of the best tips and deals for your next holiday. If you ever get tired of life, bypass the therapist and head to Cinque Terre in Italy. Cinque Terre, which means five lands, consists of five small villages which cling to the Ligurian cliffs along Italy's western coast, and they are listed on the UNESCO World Heritage List.
I have to say that I didn't do much of the planning for this trip because I went with a girlfriend of mine who's based in London, and she travels around Europe a lot. So she pretty much prepared the whole route on what we're going to do, and Cinque Terre was one of our stops. You just take a train basically from Rome down to Spezia, and Cinque Terre are five towns that are all connected by one train track, so it's really easy to get from one to the other. Just pretty much hop on the train and just sleep all the way. You have to go to all five of them. They're all so different in their own way. We stayed in Manarola, and I would say that's one of my more favourite towns. And the others that we explored, we did across a few days. We went to Venazza. We went to Venazza twice because we liked it that much. And Cornelia is in the middle. Monterosso is on one end, and Rio Maggiore is on the other end. Well, they're not that different in terms of exterior because all the buildings are still colourful. I would say the beaches are a bit different. Of course, the restaurants make it different. And Monterosso is a little bit bigger, so it seems a bit more commercialised. Personally, my favourites are Venazza and Manarola because they've got smaller streets, and I had such a great time eating there. I can't forget the food. Like, Italian food has never been the same for me after leaving Cinque Terre. Never.
Over the centuries, people have carefully built terraces on the rugged, steep landscape right up to the cliffs that overlook the sea. Despite the freak rainstorm that hit Cinque Terre in October 2011, it didn't stop tourists from visiting this lovely town.
Steep pavements, cobbly pavements, and I was thinking, oh my god, we have like massive luggage with us because we don't pack light, and we were traveling around for 2 weeks, so we had to struggle with our luggage on steep stairs. So if you go to Cinque Terre, make sure that you have a butler to carry your luggage for you, or I'm kidding, or get a backpack or something else. I don't know. We managed in the end.
Or have good knees, basically.
Yeah, yeah. It was a bit scary to topple off. But the first thing that grabbed me were all the colourful buildings. Obviously, that's what they're famous for. It was just so charming and cheerful. I couldn't wait to explore. Well, I went during summer, which I would presume is a very touristy time of the year. But it didn't seem very crowded at all. Like, there was always a place to sit in a restaurant. Maybe also because I went during a time when the floods just happened. So Cinque Terre was just getting over a really bad flood they had where the towns were submerged. But the people were really positive, optimistic. They were rebuilding the towns, painting everything back. And the atmosphere around there, it's just really charming. It's like, it's so easygoing. You just take a walk, do whatever you want. You can wake up and like buy some really nice food from focaccia from the nearby bakery. They can decide like, okay, I'm gonna hike from this town today. Take a few hours, stop by, take a lot of pictures.
The Cinque Terre villages are well connected by rail, and each of the villages has a train station. Though walking is very popular, especially on a main coastal path, Joyce had other priorities as she knew it was going to be a long walk.
Well, we took the train most of the time. Buying a two-day train pass cost 18 euros. And in my blog post, I wrote, you know what, don't even bother buying the train pass.
Really?
Because nobody checks your tickets at all. Like, the Italians really don't bother checking whether you have a train ticket. My friend and I were like, you know what, we could have just saved the money and bought more food. I know that in France, you can get a heavy fine if you get caught on the train without a ticket. But in Italy, I swear, nobody bought a ticket.
Anything goes.
They don't care. There are some people who are super semangat to walk from the last village, which is Rio Maggiore, all the way to Monterosso. We didn't do that. I think we had other priorities on our minds, like lying on a beach and sunbathing and looking for more food and, you know, just doing other stuff. The most difficult but scenic walk that we heard of, which is from Venazza to Monterosso. That's the last leg of it. Oh, you definitely need proper walking shoes. Yeah, you have to bring those with you on holiday because you're going to do so many hikes and you're going to kick yourself in the butt if you don't bring proper shoes and you're going to hurt yourself. Because you're walking on a high cliff by the edge of the sea and you can see like the towns from far away in the distance. So you see colour and the sunsets in Cinque Terre are amazing. Like the colours can change so quickly from bright blue and yellow in 1 minute to like bright pink and purple in the next 15 minutes. It's stunning. I would suggest that you do the walk and then enjoy the sunset with a glass of wine in my hand.
There are a great number of beaches in Cinque Terre. The biggest beach is situated in Monte Rosso and it is the only beach where sand can be found. Joyce went to other beaches like Vernazza and Gavano where it is covered by stones. These beaches are more pleasant if you want to get away from tourists.
If you try to go to a different one, because you know, you'll be only there for like 4 or 5 days. You want to get in as much as you can. You don't want to just like be a creature of habit. So we tried Vernazza. We sunbathed at Gavano, this beach that we took a really long time to find. Yeah, we tried a few spots. And well, we even sunbathed at the train station while waiting for the train. Or maybe because we didn't care as well. Because some of the trains can take up to like 45 minutes to come. And admittedly, we might have missed it by a few minutes. So we had to wait for another hour. And we just sat there with our food and put out like a blanket and had a picnic on the train platform. Italy is memang like pebble beaches. You can't expect sand. I mean, they're so different from our beaches in Southeast Asia, but they're really pretty. It's nice to feel like different stones under your feet instead of sand. Even in summer, it's cold. We are so spoiled in Asia with our lukewarm or warm waters that we forget that when we go to other places, the sea is completely different there, but we still go in because it's so refreshing and you have to, right? When you're on holiday in a different place, you have to go into the sea.
The only nude beach here is Gavano Beach in Corniglia. A great little spot, isolated and hard to get to. It's quite a long walk from hiking down a big cliff to an old deserted endless railway tunnel. Though Joyce freaked out a little walking through the tunnel, it was well worth the effort.
Well, my friend Yixin found online word of this nudist beach called Gavano, and we walked around for about, I would say, a good half an hour trying to find, and we even asked locals, like, where is this beach? And a lot of the locals had no idea what we were talking about. And for a while, we were thinking, okay, did this person write this online as a joke? Because we can't seem to find it. Nobody seems to know where it is. So we kept on walking. We didn't give up. And we managed to find like some faint scratchings on a rock reading Gavano. And we're like, oh my God, it actually exists. It must be this way. So we walked down this like super long path that is a bit rocky and it was really hot. And at the end of the path, there was like one house and one really dark tunnel, like a deserted train tunnel. And next to the entrance of the tunnel were more scratchings on the wall reading Gavano Naturalist Beach. So we thought, oh my God, it is here. But do we actually have to walk through this tunnel? We managed to communicate in sign language with the woman who lived at the house next to it. And she said, yes, yes, it's there. And we got the message that we just had to use our torchlights and walk through this tunnel.
Okay, and how long was this tunnel?
Exactly a kilometre.
Wow.
Not later. Oh, she was like a little old lady watering plants. So I felt like it was okay. Oh my God, it was like a movie, okay? First, we were walking through this dark tunnel with cold water dripping on us at like different parts. It was pitch black. We used our phones because didn't even have torchlights. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, this is like the kind of place where zombies would just like jump out and just eat you alive and that's it. End of your life, Joyce. So we kept on walking and we were like, wow, is this tunnel ever going to end? It was quite a long walk. It was like a brisk. We walked really fast. We tried to walk fast because we didn't want to be in there. It was a brisk, like, 10-minute walk. And when we saw the light at the end of the tunnel, we were like, yes, there is an end. And when we reached the end of it and we looked out on the beach, I was like, wow. There was a tiny beach there with about, like, 50 to 80 naked people. We had to get down to the beach using a ladder. It was rather precarious. Everyone was staring at us because we were like the two only Asians there.
On most beaches in Italy, women can go topless. So if you're wondering whether to go topless, either ask someone or just pay attention to what other people are doing.
I think it's an unsaid practice over there. Like you just get to the beach and like to be polite, or because you are there, you're supposed to adhere to like what everyone is doing, right? So it's like we just found a spot somewhere and we just like stripped and We brought like some food with us. We had a picnic on the beach. And people on the beach actually make friends with each other, but they keep a very respectful distance from each other. And the men are very respectful as well. They actually ask you things like, are you comfortable? If you're not comfortable, I can go away. People will just be talking to us.
Right. Okay.
But if they'll ask us questions like, if we're not comfortable, they can just like leave us and just like not talk to us anymore.
Right.
In case we're not comfortable. I saw some girls wearing their bottoms, but I really wanted to tan my butt for the first time. Well, of course we brought towels. You have to bring like towels. Everyone brought towels. Everyone's lying on the beach towel there.
When you talk about, you know, people keeping a respectful distance, you know, you shouldn't be gawking. There is some etiquette when it comes to being nudist beach, I imagine.
Yeah, of course, you don't stare. But I guess we have a tip for that. You put your sunglasses on.
Cinque Terre's great climate invites visitors to take long swimming sessions in the sea or just relax on the untainted beaches.
I mean, I love swimming in the deep ocean. I love the ocean. And I love being naked. So putting those two together, it was amazing. I just felt so free. One of the locals told us that Cubano used to be a lot bigger, and there used to be parties and people selling food and drinks. But due to global warming, the beach has got a lot smaller. They don't have any vendors there anymore, and it's just purely you have to bring everything you need. Right. You got to bring your drinks, your water, your food, everything you need to be comfortable. Thanks to the great article my friend found online, we knew that we had to bring everything we needed. So we brought, like, you know, knowing us, a heck lot of food, enough drinks, different type of drinks, our music, sunblock, everything that we needed to keep us entertained for a few hours. And we finally decided to leave probably after about 3-4 hours, and we're like, okay, we're getting really hungry now. I want a proper meal.
Right, right. And I suppose if you need to use the loo, it's only the open sea then.
Well, yeah. Well, I remember there were a lot of large rocks and bushes on the side, so I'm sure you could find a spot somewhere over there. I preferred the rocks to the beaches. Like, there were these really beautiful large slabs of rock in Venazza, and they can get really crowded very fast, so you should go early, or if you're really lucky like us, we found a big rock just as we arrived. And you just bask on the rock all day, and you can jump in the water, you can get off. Kids and families are there, and the kids are jumping in the water off the rocks as well. Yeah, it's a really nice, chill atmosphere.
The cuisine of the Cinque Terre almost perfectly conserves the characteristics of yesteryear, the respect for the flavours and fragrances of the primary ingredients.
Every single plate of pasta I had was divine.
What was your favourite dish when you were there then?
Grilled octopus. The grilled octopus is to die for. I have not found another dish that can battle it ever since. It was made so simply. The Italians like to just sort of braise their octopus really quickly, and they barely use any garnishings for it. It's very simple, but it tastes so good. Octopus is neither tough, it's really tender. It's so hard to get that perfect balance, you know, in the texture of octopus here or anywhere else, yeah. I had so many different types of pasta. I had vongole, I love vongole. Lobster pastas, I had seafood pastas with everything in it. And it's the pasta itself. They just cook it to the perfect al dente. The sauce that they cook it with is beautiful. And it's not overpowering. The very subtle taste of the sea. And when you eat it, you just feel like, this is it. You're definitely at the beach. The ambience definitely helps, but the food is so good. Everything else revolves around it.
Cinque Terre is not particularly well known for its nightlife, but you can find a handful of bars and clubs on the sandy beaches of Monte Rosso. The locals are always willing to teach you the Italian way of drinking.
I would have to say it's just a combination of everything. The hikes, the beautiful views while you're on the hikes, the different beaches. Oh, Monte Rosso has got a huge beach as well. The biggest beach, I would say. But because it is so wide and it's a sandy beach, so they have like quite a lot of lounge bars and restaurants that claim their part of the beach is in front of them, so you have to pay to sit there. We went out drinking at night as well. There are a lot of different bars and musicians playing in bands, and because the Italians are so friendly, we managed to, like, you know, make friends with the musicians. And I remember there was a football game going on. It was Italy versus England, so we were like cheering Italy on, and they won in the end, so everyone was in a fantastic mood. They taught us how to drink rum their way, which is dipping lemon slices in coffee and sugar, and then you down a shot of rum and then you suck on that. Then we taught them how to yum sing. You know what? I've been teaching people the yum sing all over the world, and I still think it's one of the best cheers ever.
You may be tempted to stay in one of the five villages of Cinque Terre, but Joyce suggests staying at the guest house with the locals. It would be more fun to get to know the locals.
We chose to stay in a little guest room that was provided. We found on Airbnb, and it was perfect because, you know, you're staying amongst the locals. We had like a really modern, beautiful room, which was not expensive at all. We had everything we needed. The owner even put fruits out for us, which was really nice of him. I would suggest that you stay in Manarola or Venazza.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and try to stay with the locals. Like, try to find a place on Airbnb or somewhere which is more personable. Because if you stay in like one of those big hotels in Monte Rosso, I don't know, it's not really my kind of thing. I think that you're just immersing yourself with a lot of other tourists at the same time.
Shopping is a must wherever you fly to. If you're planning a trip to Cinque Terre, Joyce has some tips for you to consider.
Bring a lot of sunscreen. Bring a healthy appetite. Expect to do some shopping because they've got really cool paintings and handmade ceramics. You're definitely going to buy some stuff. I did. I think I bought a bit too many. I bought some paintings because I, you know, just wanted to remember the place because I love it so much. There was some jewelry as well and a lot of homeware, you know, things to cook with, and you just want to buy them all. And then they sell a lot of like herbs and pasta mixes. Mm-hmm. Very tempting to bring everything home. I almost brought home a cheese grater.
Log on to our Facebook page, Ticket to Ride on BFM 89.9, or for a more visual guide, follow us on Instagram at BFM Radio. Coming up, some amazing deals, but in the meantime, here's Andre Bocelli with Nessun Dorma. This is Ticket to Ride on BFM 89.9. This is Ticket to Ride, and I'm Adeline Cheung with your travel tip. Cinque Terre is an area of land which covers five different villages. So don't get confused if you can't find a name Cinque Terre on your train schedule. Instead, find out the names of the villages concerned. It's not easy to find accommodation in Cinque Terre, so be sure to book your hotel months in advance or head to the nearby town of Levanto where there are more accommodations available. The mountain roads are narrow and winding, and vehicles are not allowed in some areas. So pack light and prepare to hike through the beautiful villages. Trains are infrequent, so if you need a train, book your ticket a day in advance to ensure you'll get a seat on board. And now we have Audrey Raj with her best travel deals for you.
This week, we visit the picturesque villages of Cinque Terre. The five villages in Cinque Terre are actually located very close to each other. And you can find beautiful vineyards, stone walls and coastlines at this Italian UNESCO World Heritage Site. So maybe the best way to explore is to hike. There's a hiking day trip in Cinque Terre which costs just $100 or just under 400 ringgit. This package includes lunch, a boat ride, as well as a local guide to help you understand the charm of these lovely villages. For more information about this deal, head on over to www.viator.com. Now, if you're a beach lover like me, Monte Rosso al Mare could be the place for you. The northernmost village in Cinque Terre apparently has the best sandy beaches where the water is warm and clear. Many also say you should try the authentic Italian gelato ice cream while you're here and visit the Torre Aurora, which is a medieval castle located at the Monte Rosso seaside. If this sounds appealing to you, check out this 4-day tour of Monte Rosso at just $660, which is about 2,400 ringgit. This package includes 3 nights accommodation in a 3-star hotel, daily breakfast, as well as train transfers and boat tickets. So all you have to worry about is your meals. For more on this deal, log on to www.trips2italy.com. That's trips2italy.com. And if you run out of accommodation options in Cinque Terre, it's a good idea to stay at the town of Levanto, which is located at the doorway to Cinque Terre. It's close to the main airports as well. And on Wednesday mornings, there's also a busy market where you'll find plenty of fruit, vegetables and fresh fish from the sea. So if you're planning to book a hotel in Levanto, the bed and breakfast Cicale di Mare offers a comfortable and quiet stay at just 300 ringgit, which includes breakfast. And if you have a child aged 3 years and below that's traveling with you, well, he or she gets to stay for free. To find out more about this hotel, visit www.venere.com.
Check out our Facebook page, Ticket to Ride on BFM 89.9, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram at BFM Radio. Before we leave you, here's another classic favourite of mine. It's Renato Caruzon with Mambo Italiano. You've been listening to Ticket to Ride, and I'm Adeline Chung for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.